Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Are you glorified fry cook?
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Boomer! Sooner!
Oh, Choklahoma.
Choklahoma, yes.
Yep.
Golly. They lost to a team that lost to a Sun Belt team. Handily. That was beautiful.
It could be your day any day.
That was the highlight of the weekend.
And this is our day. Welcome to the Sip and Chew Show.
Yes. Yeah,
and part-time
Mike and Stu.
Sports and weather analysis.
In the state of Alabama, if you're talking food, you're also talking football. Period.
In this state.
Oh, yeah. Caller. Sorry.
What you cooking
Scott,
today?
Scott, get out of here.
Finally,
real football started yesterday.
Thank God.
Yeah. Real football started yesterday.
I noticed some teams didn't play yesterday. ACC. Well, Florida State did.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say that. There were a few ACC teams. This was a built-in bye week for them to reschedule anything that might have happened in the beginning.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons that the seasons are a little shorter. There's extra time in there in case they have to reschedule.
Nobody's
things.
Playing cupcakes.
Like Notre Dame and Wake Forest, who were supposed to play yesterday.
Yeah.
But Notre Dame had a cold outbreak or something. And they had to dial it back a week. And, they're erring on the side of caution.
Yeah, well.
And if you're going to err.
Err.
Yeah, you might as well, do it being a sissy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, on the side of caution is what I'm saying.
Always on the side of caution. So
yeah.
So anyway, how's your week?
Oh, great.
Yeah,
my team won. Your team won.
Yeah. And some teams I never expected to win won.
Yeah.
So,
and poor LSU for the LSU fans. This is not the same team that played for the national championship last year. I believe in 2010 when Auburn won the national championship, in 2011 the team that they fielded was missing 21 players from the year before, which was a record. That was the most anyone had ever lost from one season. LSU's looking at 36 right now,
Ooh.
I think, for various reasons. Graduation, early exits to the NFL, COVID-related, injury-related, people who have just transferred. That's an entirely different team.
Yeah.
I mean, they are having to rebuild with, 30 less scholarship players. And other people. It's like the kind of thing that happens on probation.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Kind of like.
Yeah, but, they made a game out of it.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Hey, speaking of those viruses or whatever, COVIDs and whatever, our friend Patty Clark, she's at home sick.
Oh, get better, Patty.
Yeah, she told me she's got the COVID and.
Got the vid.
Yeah, poor thing. So we wish you well, praying for you that you have a quick recovery.
Hunker
so you
down.
Can get back in that kitchen and cook us something.
Yeah, I want a turkey pot pie.
Because Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, you know how we love her bringing in those special treats for us here. Leanne, you've experienced it.
Y'all been teasing me.
You haven't experienced it yet, have you?
No, y'all have been teasing me.
Just wait. You let that little girl get well and she's going to be in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Now, we didn't get to it last week because there was so much going on with Sally and whatnot. But Leanna is fresh off a trip to Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And I want to hear about the cannabis dinner. Were you able to make one?
I was not able to.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't able to find a restaurant for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's dispensaries that have
like the
edibles.
Chocolate bars that we got. When we went to the Taste Awards a few years ago, the swag bag had a THC chocolate bar in it.
Nice.
And it was a delicious chocolate bar.
Yeah, very delicious.
And a wonderful flight back on the airplane. That was one of the best flights back.
You got a reaction out of Phil.
Yeah. I mean, we took off in L.A. Next thing you know, we're in New Orleans. And we're like, oh, that was cool.
Wow,
but,
man.
But I did find other places that we went to a lot of breweries.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And brew pubs and ate. I had my first beer chili in Estes, Colorado, which is where the Overlook Hotel is, the hotel from The Shining.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We went to that, and that was was kind of scary.
I stayed at the Timberland Lodge on Mount Hood, and that's the hotel they did all the outside shots with the snow and everything.
Yes.
That was done there. Mm-hmm. So that's funny how they'll use two different locations for one movie. They use that hotel, your hotel, for the inside shots.
For the inside shots,
yeah, and then they use Timberland Lodge. And if you look at the Timberland, if you look in the movie and you see the outside shots with the whiteout, looks to be a whiteout going on, that is the Timberland Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, I've been there during a whiteout. It's something else. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So while we were there, we went to the bars that were at that hotel and sat beside, signed autographs from
the cast.
Yeah. Cool. You know, I forget that Dumb and Dumber was filmed there as well. So there's autograph of Jim Carrey and pictures of Stanley Kubrick and Stephen King. It was really beautiful.
Yeah.
While we were there, we had all kinds of great food. Italian food up there was really good. There was a place called Tony Rigoloni's.
Wow.
Oh.
That sounds Italian.
Oh, it was so good. We had all kinds of great food there.
Yeah, well, Colorado is a great state to go on a beer vacation.
Mm-hmm. We went to tap rooms, too, and they were great.
Wow.
That's Denver's on our list of places we want to see. And I was there as a child just passing through, and I thought that it was called a Denver omelet because I was eating it in Denver. I didn't realize it was a specific recipe.
It's also called the Mile High City.
Yeah. But they didn't have a Mile High omelet. But they have a Denver omelet.
IHOP does.
IHOP.
Yeah, I have.
Remember the International House of Burgers there for a while.
Valua. So, don't mess with what works. You know,
and, well, it's not working. That's why they messed with it.
That's so.
Yeah. They are going under.
I think I had the best breakfast burrito there.
Oh, I bet.
It had a green chili pork stew on top of it.
Yeah, like chili verde.
Yeah. And we brought back cans of it. from a brand called Stokes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was the best breakfast burrito I've ever eaten.
That sounds terrific. I could go for a breakfast burrito right now.
I
got something I'm
going to
bring in
today,
in the next week or so that I ordered that I want y'all to try. And it is, because I told Bill Finch, you know, I've got maple trees in the yard. I'd like to make syrup. And he said, well, you're not going to be able to because we don't get enough frost days a year for you to do that. He said, what they would have eaten here in Alabama in this area would have been hickory nut syrup.
Huh.
So I found a bottle of hickory nut syrup on Amazon and ordered it. And it's really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that Yul Gibbons hickory nuts, wild hickory nuts? You know who Yul Gibbons is?
Was he the guy that ate the pine tree?
Yeah. And then he died.
Yeah.
Johnny Carson used to do a great skit on him.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Many parts of a picnic table are edible. I remember that. There is from a survivalist standpoint, you can pull the bark off of pine trees, and inside there's basically it's a dirt, but it's very nutritious. It doesn't crunch or anything like that. From a survivalist standpoint, that is supposed to be.
I'll eat mushrooms.
Well, watch for the purple stripe, buddy.
I ain't got no tree. That roughage, you know.
Yeah, we're packed full of callers today. Scheduled guests. One of them, when we come back, is already on the line. We'll get to him after the break. That's Gerald Ojewan, who's probably a little beaten and bruised today after that Mississippi State game. But we're going to talk to him about how things are going on at his place over in Baldwin County, Cafe Acadiana, and what it looks like post Sally. So. That'll be good. So Gerald is on there. I met Gerald just about a year ago today when we both joined Panini Pete to cook on the USS Cincinnati. It was a great day and a great honor to cook for our troops. And that was where Gerald and I first met, so he's going to be on the show today.
Awesome.
343-0106 if you want to get in on the conversation.
I got no clue what the chicken pot pie is made of. Just know everything's doing fine down here in Lunch Lady Land.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All right, we are back. Michael Bailey.
Call me Boomer.
Michael Boomer Bailey. And we are honored to have my friend, Chef Gerald Ojwan, on from Cafe Acadiana. And Gerald, Mike has an apology to make to you, sir.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
Right before COVID quarantine started, he ate at your place, and he brought the COVID with him.
That's his claim, not mine.
Yeah.
That's his claim, not mine.
Well, Mike, that's just a terrible thing.
I've yet to have it, but everybody around me.
It's not like he brought the disease there. It's just bad luck kind of follows the two of us like a cloud
behind Pigpen.
How are you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing good. How are y'all this morning?
Doing just fine. Are you getting over yesterday's game?
Oh, you just had to bring that up, didn't you?
Like we were talking earlier, y'all had such an unprecedented run of luck. I mean, what, 36 players are gone from the team from last year? You're starting over.
Yes. Several starters also decided to sit out the season due to COVID.
Yeah.
Which you could see the difference in that defense yesterday. But, hey, wasn't our day.
But you had the greatest team in college football history last year. So there's the trade-off.
Right now, don't you agree?
Yeah. I'm an Auburn fan, but I can tell you last year's LSU team is the best college football team in history.
They certainly will go down as one of, for sure.
Yeah.
They were quite impressive.
Well, you do classic Cajun and Creole food at your place, Cafe Acadiana, but you got your own little Ojwan spin on it.
Absolutely.
Did Sally put a spin on your restaurant?
Oh, a little bit, yeah. We took a little water in through the back door, a little damage around trees and things like that. But fortunately, nothing structurally to the building. We have a big generator connected to the building in the back, so we were actually able to operate on limited generator power Friday and Saturday.
Good. That's a good idea.
With takeout only. Mm-hmm. So, but we got our full power back Sunday night. These crews are from all different parts of the country out here. These guys working 16, 18 hours a day. It's just incredible the work they've done. I don't know if any of your listeners have seen or live in this Baldwin County, central Baldwin County area, lower Baldwin County. It's Silver Hill, from Silver Hill, Fairhope going to the east, took a major hit of trees. Trees are down everywhere.
I drive it every day, Gerald, with my job, and I've taken a lot of back roads, too.
These line guys had an enormous task to work around the mess to get power back on.
I don't know what road that is. It comes from 59. It comes straight to Silver Hill to the four-way stop there where the red light is. But that's
104, if I'm on the right page.
It's a north and south road. I was amazed. All the power trees and poles and lines that were down and trees, they had brand new poles standing up, and they were wired. They were fully wired, and they had power running through them.
That may be kind of Road 55 you're talking about.
Yeah, but I think it is 55.
Yeah, 55.
And I was just amazed. I said, "God, they already got new poles. They just cut the other ones down to ground, the ones that hadn't fallen, and put brand new poles up all the way down the street."
Well, our home, my wife and I live off of South Avenue, just off of 55, and our electrical feed was coming from 55. Mm-hmm. So they had a mess on their hands from 55 and up and down South Avenue. There were trees everywhere across the road on top of homes. Just terrible, terrible sight. Breaks your heart to see it.
Yes.
But it's a resilient community, resilient area. We're coming back pretty quick. So
well, that's good. That's why I wanted to have you on, Gerald, was because I wanted to know that area that you're talking about, and we talked about it on last week's show, was just devastated by this storm. If we've got listeners, regular callers, that were pretty much stranded in the Fish River area. A week later, how are things starting to look? Is it starting to get back to civilization, or are they still struggling?
It's phenomenal. I tell you, the next morning, Wednesday morning, when there were still 50-mile-an-hour winds and rain, the town of Silver Hill, I'll speak for Silver Hill on this one, the town of Silver Hill employees, Public Works, were already out removing debris from the streets, cutting huge trees, pushing them over to the side. The citizens were out with their chainsaws clearing a path. There was not a passable road in the entire town of Silver Hill Wednesday morning. Mm-hmm. My home is at the corner of 7th Street and South Avenue, and we had a tree across both roads. I was locked in at my house. I managed to move a few little branches and drive between the root balls through a little field to get around to make it to my restaurant to see how the cafe was doing. But it was a mess. But by that afternoon, they had the main roads cleared. And right now, if you pass through Silver Hill, now there's a lot of debris all on the sides of the roads. But most residents have the yards cleaned up already. Things are coming back quickly. Debris haul and pickup is scheduled to begin beginning tomorrow, if I'm not.
Things
are coming back.
We're not a woe is me people. We got to clean up. Let's do it. Get on and do it.
Absolutely.
We don't sit around and wait for government.
And I believe in our immediate little area, we're 95%+ restored on power as well.
Oh, that's fantastic news.
Yeah. So it's coming along good. No one around here is feeling sorry for themselves. It always me. Now, look, there's some of my neighbors and friends that took some terrible hits to their property, and it breaks my heart. We were fortunate and very blessed at our personal home and at the cafe. We didn't take it. I have a lot of trees down on my property and a little damage to a barn. But that's it. We're in good shape, so thank goodness.
Well, Gerald, for those who haven't visited Cafe Acadiana yet, do a little rundown of what your menu is like and let people know where they can find it.
Well, first off, we are located on Highway 104, just about one block east of the 104 and 55 interchange stoplight in little downtown Silver Hill on the main drag there. As far as our menu, we have a typical southern fare of food, from burgers and fried seafoods and grilled seafoods. But we do put our own little Cajun twist to a lot of dishes. We have a lot of unique dishes, a Boudreaux's burrito, our crab cakes, poncho train, our ribeye opelousas, things like that. We crawfish etouffee, several different types of gumbo, shrimp and crawfish cream sauces, things like that. We do everything from scratch. Hmm. We don't, but there's not a whole lot that we buy that we don't make ourselves. We have unique dishes. At lunchtime, we probably have one of the most unique lunch menus in the area that people drive from all around to stop in and have lunch and dinner with us. So we've been 7 years in business now here in Silver Hill.
There's one thing I hadn't heard you mention yet.
And what's that? The fried boudin balls. I did overlook that. That's the one that
I was waiting for.
The restaurant. Thank all right. you, Stu.
Well, Gerald, what hours are you going right now?
Right now, we are closed on Sunday and Monday. And we open for lunch on Tuesday from 11 to 3. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're open from 11 to 8:30 p.m. lunch and dinner.
All right. And you're doing takeout and dine-in?
Yeah, take out and dine in. We posted our Facebook page daily with the lunch or dinner specials. And our website is datsgoodyeah.com. Like DATS, the word good, and then yeah, YEAH.com. So when we cook, we say, ooh, that's good, yeah.
All right, buddy. Man, it was good hearing your voice again. And you know, it was a year ago this weekend that we met on the Cincinnati.
That's right. It was a lot of fun on that, on the USS Cincinnati. And as you said earlier, it's quite an honor to cook for our troops on that ship as well. It was really something else.
Yes, it was.
One of the highlights of my career was doing that. That was a lot of fun.
Same here, buddy.
Quite an honor.
All right, Gerald, we're going to let you get back to sleeping, buddy.
All right. Well, look, thank y'all for having me on this morning. Y'all have a fantastic day.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
See you soon.
All righty. Bye-bye.
He's got the axe sitting down and everything.
That man isn't playing a part.
No.
That man is exactly who you would expect.
What part of Louisiana are he from?
Opelousas.
Opelousas.
Yeah, that area. But good man that I met last year, thanks to our pal Panini Pete. And
yeah. So what y'all did, y'all got a taste of what Pete does with the Mess Lords.
Right, right. Only, you know, when the Mess Lords deploy, it's for days at a time. And they do 12 and 16-hour shifts.
Yeah.
Because they do all three meals with the KP, with the kitchen staff on the shift or the ship or whatever base they're on. And they've been in some areas that the UN wouldn't go into.
Mm-hmm.
They've been they've been on the front in Afghanistan and Iraq, I believe. They've been in places where stuff could get bad quickly.
Yeah.
And
but they brought food. You know?
Yeah. The great equalizer. And we're not done with guests.
No.
No, in the next segment, we're going to be talking with my good friend Dan Todd. Dan and I go way back. And I wanted Dan on because he's an innkeeper, hotels and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a hotel in the affected area in Louisiana. I want to talk to him about recovery from Hurricane Laura when we come back from the break.
All righty. 343-0106 if you have any questions to us.
That's right, sun, moonshine, little bottle of good time.
Oh, they're singing your song, aren't they, Mike?
I love that song.
Yeah, moonshine.
That's amazing. They don't have one instrument.
Not one.
One instrument, except their voice.
Yeah, their voices. The secret is they got an Alabama boy in the group, Adam Chance from Baymanette.
Oh.
Yeah, baritone bass. And they were a great group before Adam joined the band, but what he gave them was a third singer with star capabilities. Because Tim Faust, the bass player, if he wanted to break off and just do country music, he'd be a superstar.
Yeah.
Austin Brown, the tenor who was singing lead there, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Adam Chance is as good as they are.
Yeah.
And he does usually sings the baritone part, but when Tim will sing lead on a tenor and surprising range, Adam will fill in on bass, and he's got some deep notes too.
Really?
Really, really deep. But enough of that. We got this morning yet another guest. This is my good friend Dan Todd. Dan and I have known each other since Mike was 70, so about 40 years. Dan, I get it's hard to believe, isn't it?
It is. We do go way, way back. We go back through several of your hairdos.
He knew me when I had hair. So
I know.
Dan and I went to high school together, and then he went to the same college I did. We were in trombone lines together at two different schools, and that school where we in college, Mississippi Gulf Coast, is where we met another friend of the show, Carl Tilley.
Ah.
Who, Dan, I don't know if you know about it. Carl is a heck of a chef these days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I keep up with Carl. It's amazing how you come out of band and you go into food and beverage. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, the reason I want to have you on, you've got a hotel in the affected area in Louisiana in the south end of Lafayette, I believe, correct?
Yeah, it's a new development area over here in Lafayette, but it's nice. We saw several things because of the outlining areas, New Iberia, Franklin, stuff like that. So we've gotten them, and then of course with everything going on in Lake Charles, it's interesting.
Well, we've been trying to have people from the area on the show because we know that the national media has just ignored Lake Charles since the storm. There was no way to politicize it, so they don't care about the suffering there. So our last guest from the area was on about 2 weeks ago. How are things now?
Well, the thing is I haven't personally been, over to Lake Charles. The hotel is about 47 miles from Lake Charles. The company that I work with have several different hotels, and I was actually sent up to Ruston, West Monroe, about 3 weeks ago to assist with that hotel, and it's even as far as that, with power crews and tree crews and, all the hotels we're going through phases. You know, you go through that phase where first you have the evacuees, and then once they are able to get back to their homes or FEMA takes over, then here comes
all the relief
effort. Homeland Security. And then, I was in the hotel industry, in Theodore, at the Holiday Inn when Katrina hit. Mm-hmm. And, we were probably one of the only full service hotels on I-10 that was able to help. We had the Florida state troopers there. We had all kinds of stuff. So I've seen all the phases, and currently we're going through the phases here. But the thing is that some of the cities north of Lake Charles and everything, Kinder, I believe, are starting to be able to restructure with their power, and a lot of the crews. There's several companies from Alabama, from Montgomery, from Mobile, Fairhope, that have been with us that are now going to be moving into that direction, because some of the infrastructure is coming back on the outer areas of Lake Charles. But Lake Charles, Cameron, all those areas, it's still bad.
Yeah, that's why I want to have you on. Also, you did something. I was paying attention to Facebook. When the recovery crews started coming in, you opened up your hotel to them, to give them a place to stay. And I'm guessing there was a lot of that going on, because Louisiana and Alabama were not that much different. Y'all just talk funny over there.
I'm from there, and I've only been I'm from Alabama. I've only been over here for about a year.
Can you speak the language yet?
So I picked up a little of the dialect. I'm understanding some of it, especially with my employees. I'll go, "What did you just say?" So yeah, but currently over here I'm operations and food and beverage director.
Right.
So one of my things is that I've been trying to talk to the crews, to make sure, because we just went to phase three over here. I don't even know if there's phases in Alabama anymore, but over here there's phase three. So music can return back to the bars and all that, but still some of the timelines on when the bars and restaurants are closing is still very early. So when they're coming back, I'm trying to make sure, that we've got food or their type of beer that they like, or water, or what have you, because, I just think that's important, working 16 hours. And then, I don't really want them eating fast food. Nothing wrong with fast food, Stu. I know you love fast food, but I mean, that's been a challenge is to make sure. And then of course, with all the COVID restrictions and packaging and everything, it's
a headache.
It's been interesting.
Yeah. Well, Dan, I want to appreciate you coming on. Hey, if anybody's going to be in the Lafayette area in the next year once things return to normal, where can they find your hotel?
I'm the Courtyard by Marriott, on the south side of town over by Our Lady of Lourdes.
All right. Dan, I sure appreciate it, man, and stay safe, buddy, and it sure was good talking to you again.
Hey, and I'm enjoy listening to the show. And
thank you.
Hi, Mike. I guess Stu just
I was just listening. I just wanted people out there, because people don't know it's Lafayette and not
Lafayette.
That is correct. And oh. and I was schooled the first month I was here.
Uh-huh. It's like so Mobile and Mobile.
I do know how to pronounce the city that I live in, but all these outlining cities and streets, I'm still hurting.
All right, buddy. Hey, have a good day, buddy.
Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Take care. All right, bye.
So that was Dan Todd with Marriott Hotels telling us things are still rough in Louisiana.
Oh, I imagine they are.
They're getting better. And now all the crews that are helping here hopefully can go over and help.
Well, I remember Ivan. You know, Ivan was devastating to the beaches and Pensacola Beach and all that. But the places that aren't prepared for it are more inland, mm-hmm. and they're getting hurricane force winds like Atmore did. Bruton, all those areas got tore up by Ivan. Now, I don't know how they really fared with this storm.
Didn't have the same winds.
Yeah, but they were coming in Category 2, and they were still categorized when they went inland, finally went inland. But I found more of the damage inland than over there than I have on the beach. Now, you get back to the Back Bay where Wolf Bay and all that is, there was a lot of
I'm sure
damaged back there, but
we're coming out of it.
We are, and there's still a lot of recovery over there. And I have not heard from our John downtown Fish River yet. And I know they were having a hard time just trying to get information. Yeah. That's all they wanted was information. Yeah. Where can I get some? And you know, people who don't have any internet and no cell service because of the storm, they don't know. And some of them couldn't even get out of their driveways or their streets.
Yeah. You gotta have that 9-volt battery sitting there, that transistor radio.
You
built a transistor radio.
On Gilligan's Island, they always seem to have a radio working.
Well, he had a battery charger using seawater.
Yeah, I guess.
And, so it was on the cartoon version, but
no, it was on the regular on the regular show. But they always seem to be standing around the radio when an important announcement happened.
Well, they had nothing else to do. They were stranded on a desert island.
and I always ate coconut and fish.
Yeah. Well, real quick, last week, Heather and I went to a place that we loved before the quarantine, and we finally got a chance to go back in, and that was Rooster's, Frankie Little's place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, that place is so good. The very berry margarita, oh, my God.
Oh, that sounds good.
That was very good. You know what's best about it? Is you can't taste the tequila, because I'm not a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love...
You like the feel of it, though.
It's not bad. It's not bad. But there are tequilas, the higher end, the Añejos, that I like to sip just like whiskey, and they're phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I've got some Jove Cuervo Platinum right now that every now and then I'll just pour a glass of that on ice and drink it like it's whiskey because it's got those nuances. But just, you know.
You get to the better quality. Yeah. To me, silver.
The difference between something like a berry margarita and a daiquiri is tequila instead of rum. I'd rather have the daiquiri.
No, what's that berry? Very berry?
Very berry margarita.
I have to try that when my infection is gone.
Yeah.
And I get off antibiotics. I can't have any alcohol right now.
Oh, okay. Well, you can have the berries.
And it's killing me.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's doing just the opposite. Your liver's probably sitting there going, whoo, man.
It's on vacation.
That was a rough 60 years.
Save up for the holidays. Just don't drink anything until the holidays is here.
Yeah. Frankie was running the special that day, and that's what I wanted, which is called Conchinita Pibble. It is a pre-Columbian dish. Now it's made with pork, which probably would not have been since there weren't any porks running around Mexico then. But marinated with orange juice and lots of garlic and slow cooked. And it was absolutely delicious.
When we come back, I want to talk to you about pork.
Okay. And if y'all want to talk about pork, it's 343-0106.
There you go.
Cowboys will come from near and far when you throw a few ribeyes on the farm. Roberta
Durant. To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Man, Mike's playing Angry Birds again, y'all.
They are.
Wayne Green. So, Drew Brees looks old.
Man, I don't watch football. I don't watch NFL.
Yeah, I do.
So anyway,
yeah.
By the way, I want to thank Tanya Garrett, David Garrett. She disappeared for about an hour yesterday at the wine bar. Mm-hmm. And she come back.
What wine bar is that?
Le Bichon Wine Bar in Daphne.
Oh, it's the Eastern Shore. Wonderful place.
Great, beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And anyway, she come back. She had this big old bowl set up on the bar. She went home and bowled me about 3 pounds of shrimp. And they were saying, and I was still eating on them last night when I got home. And I got more to go. So thank you, Tanya and David, for that boiled
shrimp.
For the scrimps. So, yeah, also yesterday, I had purchased a Boston butt as part of a benefit for the ladies over at that they were doing over at Brewhaus.
Already cooking.
Smoked butt. And now I've got this big old butt in my refrigerator. And I'm looking for ideas of things to do it besides eat it. I was thinking like some tacos, some different ideas.
Get you a skillet, take some of that pulled pork. Put you a little oil in it, get it good and hot, throw that pork in it and maybe a little bit of salsa and let it get good and crusty, you know, flip it over.
Yeah.
And then into your taco.
There you go. Tacos is easy, but I was looking for some other ideas.
Pulled pork nachos.
Cornitas and
make a Cuban.
Yeah, there's an idea.
All you need to add to it is some ham, mustard, pickles.
Now, what I was going to do, I was going to break it up and put it into individual bags and, you know, for single guy portions.
There you go.
Which is like enough for three people.
Right.
And put them in the freezer. I guess it'll be all right in the freezer.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. It's cooled down. But, God, it smells so good when I was driving it home.
Yeah. Leanna was talking about having in Denver chili verde.
Yeah.
Is a chili that is considered the mildest of chilies. It's verde green because it uses tomatillos and green chilies, mild green chilies. What you can do is get a jar of salsa verde, add it to that pork, and a can of cannellini beans or navy beans. That generally gets a white bean.
White salsa, right? And a verde?
Green.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
What white beans go with it? And use the pulled pork for that. It's terrific.
I watch that Mexican lady all the time on Create Channel, and she's got some great recipes, but I can't remember. I guess I could go back on YouTube and
or go to PBS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they catalog them. But we got a call right now.
Look at there.
There you go. John from Fish River. I take it you have cell coverage, sir.
Yes, finally. It comes and goes. It comes and goes. But, Mike, let me tell you what you can do with that Boston butt. Two things. First, it makes a really good soup. If you were going to make a beef soup, use that Boston butt instead. The second thing you can do is bring it to me. I'm about to starve.
Well, won't you go see Gerald Argewon down there at Cafe Acadiana in Silver Hill?
No, I met Gerald. He catered my son's wedding years ago, and I met him a long time ago, right when he first came to Silver Hill, when he first opened up. And I know where he goes to eat barbecue at, too.
Really?
Yeah,
you got the inside scoop, don't you?
I've seen him around.
Yeah. Good guy. Good man.
Yeah, he's got good food. Good food. Really good food.
Well, it
still
is.
Still hadn't seen you at Rouse's. Are you still up there?
Yeah. Yeah,
you got to go back where the box crusher is.
Where the what is?
The box crusher.
It's in the back. You can't see it.
Oh, okay.
Just come by the smokehouse and ask if I'm working. I will be there every day this week.
I was up there a couple times because there's only just certain things I get, like the Rouse's lime soda. They got a great it's an Italian soda.
I've seen them. I haven't tried any of them.
Well,
I need to get that. Heather Stepdad is a connoisseur of off-brand soft drinks. He likes to try everything.
I can't much blame him. There's some delicious flavors out there.
Yeah, I'd like to get him some cheer wine. He's never tried that before.
Oh, out of North Carolina?
Yeah. Well, now it's a Coca-Cola product.
Oh, it is.
It used to be a Pepsi product.
Yeah, or
yeah,
is it?
I thought it was a Pepsi product.
Pepsi, yeah. It was Pepsi.
Yeah, I knew one of the big boys had bought them. But,
you're talking about off-brand. Piggly Wiggly has a pretty good root beer.
Which one is that? Their store brand?
Yeah.
Really?
I think it is, yeah.
Hey, you're John.
You're not by Frosty.
No, not that one.
Yeah. John,
yes.
There's something else Piggly Wiggly has that I used to use at Bella Sarah whenever we did prime rib.
Uh-huh.
It's that roast beef seasoning that they have with the Piggly Wiggly seasonings where it's a big jar for about 99 mm-hmm. cents.
Yeah.
The roast beef seasoning was phenomenal on roast beef, go figure. But it really was good. Yeah, because my general thing is I always use, if I can get it, Herbs to Provence, salt, and pepper.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes you can't find Herbs to Provence. And Italian seasoning will work, but they brought that one day, and I didn't need anything else. I just seasoned my prime rib with that and let it go, and boy, was it good.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm thinking in addition to the salt, pepper, garlic, and the traditional things that are in it, that it's probably granulated beef stock or something.
You think?
Yeah, possibly. You'd be surprised how many seasonings actually have liquids in them that they have added. I'm drawing a blank to the chemical, too, but it turns them into a powder. That's how you get the little powdered packets in, like, Hamburger Helper. That actually was tomato sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And they added, and I'm on the verge of remembering the name of this chemical. There's a chemical that turns liquids into powders. Then you just add water and it rehydrates it.
Oh, very. Isn't that fascinating? Yeah. You're a book of knowledge.
Well, a comic book of knowledge, maybe. Luckily, there are illustrations. So you doing okay, buddy?
It's slowly but surely coming back. It's just total destruction. I had to go to Foley yesterday to get my motorcycle, and I had a friend driving. And one thing we were looking at, the closer we got to Foley, not that Foley didn't take a whole lot of damage, but we saw less damage over there than we did around the river. And the pecan trees are all laying south.
Oh, man.
Every one.
Yeah,
I didn't see hardly any pecan trees standing.
13's devastated. Pecan
oh,
orchards.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of pecan wood to smoke butts with.
My son's cutting up. He lost his pecan trees, and he's been cutting them up into logs and ingots. And he said, we'll have plenty of smoking wood.
I yeah.
Said, right. Right.
And wouldn't a winter fire smell good with pecan?
If the wood is dry.
Right.
I don't like using green pecan wood. It just pops all over the place.
Everywhere. Yeah, I've seen it.
Well, it doesn't hurt, like for smoking meat, it doesn't hurt to have a little green, just a little bit of green still in it.
Oh, yeah. Green
so you
pecan
will get the smoke.
Is good with ham and sausage.
Well, so you will get the smoke, and it'll last longer.
True. That's true.
So
as long as it's not too green, it gives you too bad of a bite.
Right.
Your tongue.
All right.
That's
well,
great.
Well, John, we got to wrap it up for the day. And for the
yeah,
week.
Yeah, man. Provolone to you.
Hey, Baba Ganoush to you, my friend. Good hearing your voice again.
Okay.
Thank you, John. Bye. Glad you're doing better.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Michael, can you believe we've come to the end of another
Already?
Sip and Chew with Mike and
Stu? It just flies by so
yeah.
fast.
Yeah. Folks, if you came in partway through the show and you missed the beginning when we were talking to Gerald Ajawan from Cafe Acadiana, go to facebook.com/sipandchew and you can watch the show over again, and you can also check out our vault of all the old shows we used to do.
Folks, we still got a lot of people in need of cash. So if you're out there in the service, you know, out there going to the restaurants, going to the bars, whatever, and let's hope next Friday, Meemaw looses the restrictions, but please tip. Please tip generously.
And
get out there and support everything we have here locally.
And be patient.
Pack your patience.
You can't be patient. Don't leave the house.
That's it, bud.
All right, buddy. Yeah?
Provolone.
Provolone. That's what I was going to say.
I'll be darned. We must be psychotic.
That's for sure.